couple weeks ago, Richard, who's the guy that made Rolling Along, got in contact with me and said, hey, I'd love to place an ad on the podcast. You know, I listen to the podcast. I want to place an ad with the Rolling Along documentary. And I was like, I don't know, Ben, what do you think? Because we don't do ads, right?
No, not yet. We're not into podcast money right now.
No. So it was more of a, like, how do you want to handle this? So anyway, we ended up just wanting to test it out. So Richard, good guy, made a good video and wanted to let you know that Rolling Along is a winner of Best Editing of a Documentary at the 2017 Madrid International Film Festival. Rolling Along the Inline Movement is not your typical blading film. It takes a historical look at blading's birth, rise, fall, and redemption. Starring Chris Edwards, Tom Heiser, Michael Palak, Frankie Morales, John Julio, Coco Sanchez, and held down by Brian B. Free Freeman. Visit rollingalongdoc.com to get your copy.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, let's see. What do you guys think? Let us know I don't know. We don't have comments. But let us know.
On backtoblading.com/contact.
There you go. And we'll post it on the Instagram. Let us know if we should do ads again in the future. We're not against it. We're not doing this to make the money. We just want to get the word out there. So if you're interested in advertising and getting your product out there or video or anything else, reach out and let's chat.
Yeah, Richard at Rolling Along actually did an unboxing of the God Skate, and he made it look really good.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I there's no doubt that it's a good-looking skate. We don't have to go any further into it.
No.
Than that.
No. Did you see the one that somebody put some red sole plates on it?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
I think it's good. I like it.
I mean, like, it's an interesting look. Like, the whole aesthetic with that picture really didn't, I wasn't a fan of.
Yeah.
But that setup, like, with the red symmetric frames and the red symmetric soles,
yep,
the whole nine yards, it did look good. Yep. Yeah, I definitely can't fault that.
It's an interesting time, Ben.
That is true. This motherfucker is spending $1,500 on Shima wheels on eBay.
So we had a whole section set up to talk about Brian Shima. So
yeah,
we haven't been able to record the podcast in a while because we did the two end of 2017 episodes. When was that? A couple weeks ago with Rob. And
yeah.
And we just haven't, you know, schedules are a little crazy. So we've had a really difficult time finding the time to get together. And we wrote down this thing about Shima skating, and we actually discussed it during the end of year recap. But what was it? Just a few weeks ago, somebody puts four like mint condition Brian Shima medium wheels, not, you know, 4x4 wheels, medium wheels, and not Mind Game wheels. Medium. He had a Mind Game wheel, right? Yeah, he had to.
Yeah, pretty sure he had several.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Right.
Not missing my.
Why
wouldn't he? Why can't I think of it? We'll find it. Anyway.
We'll find it.
So four of his medium wheels, mint condition, go on eBay. They sell for $1,500.
It's absurd.
Who the hell is buying four wheels for $1,500?
People that have money to spend. God. Like I can't believe, like there's one guy in particular on Blade Trade specifically who is buying a ton of old shit. Mm-hmm. His name is Clem. Whatever he has is his last name as on Facebook. I can't understand it.
Oh, I think I've seen that guy. Yeah.
If you show him some of your old stuff, he'd probably be more than willing to send several schmeckles your way.
Yeah. No, he seems like a really nice guy.
He is. He's a very nice guy. What did I sell him? Those Sojiro wheels, those blue ones.
Right.
And like, I just wanted to give him a good home. Like he was willing to offer me, sure, far more money than I was, you know, felt was necessary to take. Like it was gonna be like $40 to ship them, to Paris where he was. Okay. And I was like, you can give me $46. And he's like, no, I'm going to give you this much. I was like,
right.
Why am I going to argue?
Right.
So like, we kind of got into a little bit of a conversation. Like, he does a lot of really cool stuff. He works for, I don't remember exactly if he's like a surveyor for a rail company out in Paris or exactly what he does. Clem, if you hear this, I apologize for not doing a little bit of research in our conversation, but, he's a bright guy. He's going to Winter Clash. He's really excited about it.
Oh, sweet.
So who knows? Maybe he's going to take a couple of those Sochiro wheels and be like, hey man, do you want to sign this real quick for me?
I was going to say, is that a thing? Like, do people sign product?
According to, Volo 4 and Volo 5. Yeah.
Wow. I guess
because there's more than a couple of clips of people signing shit in both of those videos.
Huh. I can't imagine, but hey, I got, you saw my score from the Eisenberg's,
oh my God, sale? That was amazing.
So, did we talk about this already? I feel like we did. Was it in the,
we might've talked a little bit about it on the first,
yeah, maybe
year in review, but I don't think we really went into much detail about it, but we can talk about it now.
Yeah, so Eisenberg's skate park, if you don't know Eisenberg's, I mean, it was the family run skate park in Richardson. No, where was it?
That was in
Plano, Texas. Right.
Yeah, Richardson, nearby. Plano, yeah. Dallas. That those are all in nearby. Each other's hip pockets. So
yeah, closed down a while ago. All the stuff, got pulled out of there and was put into Vicky Eisenberg, who was Arlo's mom, her house. And this was like, it used to have a shop. It used to have, all of Arlo's stuff that he just collected and didn't have a good place for it. But it also had stuff on the walls that they put behind glass. So they had like Team Rollerblade t-shirts and bomber jackets. And they had the t-shirt that I Love Brad Pitt t-shirt that Brian Smith wears in Hoax 2. They had Don Everett's blue striped polo shirt. Like all of these things that if you're an old school like blader, you would look at and you'd say, I know what that t-shirt is. I know where that, hat is or whatever. They had the shorts that B-Love was wearing in Hoax 2. The really doing the cones, the really tight shorts.
Let's do some cones.
Yeah. So one of the things that they had was Andy Cruz had this section, and he had his original prototype Fatty Pros, which were not released. They were the black with red or burgundy coloring with a little star in it. And it had the prototype 50/50 grind plate, the marble green UHMW grind plate, along with his Cosmo, not his Cosmo, but Cosmo Mini Flies flat, and a t-shirt that Jess gave him back in the beginning of 50/50 with the original 50/50 logo before I was part of 50/50. Like, this is way back. This is like 94 maybe. And I didn't get with the company until 96, maybe 97, one of those 2 years. Anyway, so Andy Cruz signed it and it was put behind glass. Fast forward, 10 years? And there's an estate sale. So Vicky is moving and has to get rid of this stuff. And lo and behold, all of this stuff shows up in the estate sale. So this guy, God, I can't remember his name. Let me find his name real quick. Really, really nice guy. Brian Lackey.
There you go, yep.
He used to work at Eisenberg's. He was a rollerblader. Now he is more of a skateboarder BMXer, but still, does stuff, right? And he showed up. He picked up the lot, all the old stuff, all the old wheels and everything, and brought them back. And has been sending them out to probably Clem or other people who are interested in buying them. And when he bought the estate, I saw in the pictures that 50-50 shirt. And I was like, dude, this is all, like, I'd love that. And he's like, I haven't gotten it yet. Like, it's behind glass. So these estate sale people think that it's worth like a lot of money. So they're asking $300 for it.
Jesus.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? It's not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to spend $300 for it, but I guarantee it'll be there until the end of the day. And at the end of the day, they start discounting things really cheap. So I'll do whatever I can to get back there and get it for you. So he went back there and he got it for me, along with all the other things behind glass that they realized were not worth anything, but they're worth something to us, you know?
For sure.
So he picked up the lot, and I'll see if I can find some pictures, but awesome guy. I mean, Brian, just thank you so much for doing that, for getting there, for getting the stuff, for distributing it to all the people. I think there's a lot of it on eBay, or at least there was, if you're interested in looking for the things. I'll see if I can find a link as well. But I got the t-shirt. So I got the t-shirt and I got the Fatty Pro. They are now in my possession. I need to figure out how I'm going to display them. But so happy. This is like, you know, it's huge. It's huge.
That's pretty incredible. Now, it should also be noted that those are probably very, very, very early Fatty Pros.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you look at that front frame, mm-hmm. like it has more of like the straight cut as opposed to the like the swoop in that they did. I don't know if they did that like they found that they could save a little bit of weight, save a little bit of money on the molding or whatnot, but the original Fatties had just a snub nose front, like front of the frame, and then it started sweeping back more and more. Mm-hmm. So that's something that also shows that's a very, very early Fatty Pro. That's incredible.
I'm so like, so happy.
I also wonder, do you think those are the Fatty Pros that Wedge was wearing on the cover of Eurobread?
It might be the Fatty Pros that he was wearing on the cover of Eurobread.
Oh. That's so like I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about. But I have to come and visit you, and yeah. I have to hold those in my hands.
We'll get a picture.
Together. I might even smell them.
Oh well, I'm sure Wes would be very happy to hear that.
Probably. He's kind of a weird dude, but yes. I think that's why we all love him so much.
This is true.
Yeah, that's so wild, like, just the stuff that's available nowadays. Because I remember there was a point where Eisenberg's was doing, like, a big liquidation of the stuff that they had.
Okay.
Like, through their eBay store. But it's crazy that the stuff that they had, I think they even had a couple pair of Senate Ultra Wides.
Oh, nice.
Which, I mean, we all know that I'm a huge fan of those jeans.
I mean, you can't sleep without them.
Well, I've done it for the last 20 some odd years, so. But yeah, I mean, and then it's even crazier seeing that there's still companies that are out there that are making new shit, like and even improving what they have in their product line, like USD and Powerslide was all over ISPO, the trade show in Munich that just happened a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know. So I went to ISPO 1 year. When was that? It was before UFS, so it was probably like 2000. And it was my first time traveling out of the country. So this is the first time that I needed a passport. And I remember like the story just went horribly wrong. Like I never traveled. Like I was a kid, you know, I was maybe 22 at the time. Okay. How old would I have been? Yeah, give or take. Born 76. So what was I? 24. I can't do math. So I go out there and it probably wasn't 2000. It was probably earlier than that because I remember I brought a big old sack of original 50-50 frames that I was delivering to the distributor who at the time was not Powerslide. It was, what were they called? Grindhouse in Germany. Okay. And I dropped those off. And I left that morning for the airport to go to Germany, and I forgot my fucking backpack.
Oh, no. So
all I had was my suitcase and what was on my possession, which was thankfully my passport. But my backpack had my money. It had, like, my credit cards. It had my itinerary. And I I got to the airport and I was like, okay, either I go home and miss my flight or I just make it work. So I leave in, you know, not knowing what the hell I was doing from, I was living in Orange County. So I leave LAX going to Germany.
Boy, all right. I think I might have gotten confused here. So
yeah.
You left the United States.
Yeah.
With Sans backpack
mm-hmm.
that had everything that you're going to use to pay for this trip.
Yeah.
Like all your incidentals.
Yeah.
All right. I'm on board.
Yeah. I think I had a credit card or two. Like,
okay.
But I knew that I didn't have any. Like, this was back in the days when I had no money. So, for people who think that, you know, owning a skate company is like rolling in the dough, we were so in debt. Like, I had no money. Like, we put all of our money into the product and the team. Like, we didn't have any money. Like, we were, yeah, it was not a good time for me. I was very happy, but I was very young and I didn't know what I was doing, especially financially.
Yeah, anyway, well, Blading as a whole was better for it. So thank you for your suffering.
Well, thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. So I had, you know, maybe $200 left on my credit card. Like, if my credit card had a $2,000 limit, I had like $1,800 on it.
Oh, man.
So that's probably the situation. And I didn't have, like, I think I was supposed to be staying at this hostel with Mark Cordy and a couple other people in Munich. And I had no idea where I was going. I had no contacts. I had no cell phone. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. That was the time, like life lessons, when I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to make it work, right? What's the worst that can happen? So I ended up flying out to Munich. Unfortunately, it was snowing in Munich, which it doesn't do that often. So we ended up diverting to Frankfurt. And I had to take a train from Frankfurt to Munich. And I'm like, I don't know German. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. The nice thing was that, so it was for the ISPO trade show. And ISPO is a international sports something organization or whatever. The sports product organization, maybe. The people on my flight... I was sitting next to a girl who was a model for the Reef swimwear company, who makes sandals and stuff like that. I don't know if they're still around, but they were then. So I was sitting next to her chatting, figuring out, you know, what's going on and trying to ask for advice, right? and she and her team, right, helped me get sorted. So we... you know, stuck together because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. We stuck together, took the train from Frankfurt to Munich. She, you know, had contacts and got me a hotel for like, I think it was like $100 a night so I could stay for two nights, right? Because I didn't have enough money on my credit card for anything else. And I made it to the trade show and I told, you know, Matthias and everyone, the story, and they were like, oh my god. And thankfully I brought the frames, and the guy from Grindhouse, I think it was Grindhouse, paid me in cash. So he paid me in Deutschmark for the frames that I had. So that money, because of the product that I brought over, was enough money for me to cover for my hotel, or I would have gone to jail. Like, it was the worst situation that I and after that I said, you know what, I'm gonna make it out of it. Like, I don't care how bad things are. Like, I'll figure out a way. Like, it can't be that bad, right? I mean, this is pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's far worse situations that you could have ended up in. So, I mean, all in all, you at least got a decent story out of it.
Yeah, and so I only stayed two nights there, I think. But then I went, so the last night or the last two nights, I went and stayed at, I think it was Jochen Smoote. Do you remember that name? Was he
absolutely?
Yeah. I think it was Jochen.
Skated for. Yeah, I always called him Jochen or whatever because I'm an ignorant American.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, historically, I don't have the best grasp on Germanic names.
No.
Despite the fact that I have a name that everybody thinks is German.
Yeah.
So.
You're not German?
No, I'm Dutch.
Oh, there you go. So yeah, I stayed at I think it was Jochen's place, or it might have been Martin's, who everybody called Fusi. Who was like the graphic designer for USD back then. And they took me to this random German club where I guess in Germany, I remember in Germany, you could get a rum and coke in a can. So you can go to it like a 7-Eleven and you get a rum and coke and you just walk around. And we went to this club where they were having an ISPO party, and it was a dance club. So we got really drunk. And I remember telling all the girls that I was from California, thinking that would work. Like it was so, it was so weird. Anyway, so
yeah. No, to be young and dumb again.
Yeah, I mean, this was like 20 years ago now, dude. So
that's crazy.
So I remember that night. I have pictures of all of this too. So I brought my camera. So I'll post the pictures. That night, I remember we went back to Jochen and Fusi's spot. I don't know if they lived together, if they were just staying together or whatever. And Corey Casey and John Elliott were also staying there. They came for the trade show, but then they were heading out to tour Europe. So they had these big-ass backpacks with everything that they needed for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know how long they were staying out there. So the morning of my flight, I'm taking a cab back to the airport, and I'm saying goodbye to them, and they're just off to the train station or whatever, and they're just riding the rails all over Europe for 3 weeks.
That's crazy. What
a bizarre world that was.
Yeah, I mean, you're back before the TSA and all that stuff, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this was before.
Barely then. Before.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been earlier. It must have been like 99. I'll find out, but it was early. I remember it was before we did the UFS frame, because we met with the manufacturer to talk about the dual injection for the 5050 UFS. And that was in the first 5050 UFS frame. They had been doing the production for the original 5050 frames. So 5050 UFS frames were what, 2001? So again, it must have been around 2000. So I must have been like 24. So yeah, I mean, before 9/11, before any of the TSA, you know, hardening of travel and everything. Times are different, man. I was young and foolish, and world was my oyster.
Yeah, and you made it out on the other side, so.
Anyway, so yes, I made it out. I made it home. So ISPO is still around. And yes. PowerSlide was there then, and they're there now. What is it, 17, 18 years later?
Yeah, quite some time later. And like, well, I'm not going to go off on that tangent right now. We'll do that later. So there's two things that are very, very exciting. Well, you have all four of them here in our topic list that I'm very excited about. But probably yes. The most is a Roman Abrate Pro 7 skate.
Isn't that cool?
Which, yeah, it's awesome that he finally got a skate. I really think that it's been well overdue. I think that he should have been given a pro boot right after he got on the team, to be honest. I mean, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, he's a Euro chucker, you know, a spin to win, you know, he's a park skater. Like, so he's a fucking amazing park skater.
Yeah.
Like, he could probably handily beat just about anybody on a P-rail or a box in a game of Blade. Yeah. I think the only person that would... I think the two people that could probably give him a run for his money might be Richie Eisler and Eugen Ennen. Probably those two. If I could see the three of them play a game of Blade, that'd be pretty dope.
You know what Roman's problem is?
No, don't even say it. Don't even say it.
Anyway, it's a new year. It's a new year. It's 2018. We're not going to do
this
that.
This is true.
We're not going to talk about this that anymore. This is
true. Yeah.
Pro we'll Model 7. That. Not only is it a pro model with his name on it and his style and his look, it has a pro model frame. So it's not a Kaiser frame. It's an actual Cultic frame.
Yep.
Does it come with undercovers too?
There was a picture that I saw one of the European shops that had it with his pro wheel. I don't know if that's how it's going to come out of the box.
Yeah.
Even if it does, I got into a discussion with somebody on Facebook, and this is the reason why I left one of the Blade groups. I don't remember exactly which one. It might have been Blade Tech. But people were saying how, like, oh, no one wants to spend the money on, you know, expensive skates nowadays or something like that. I'm like,
sure.
The fuck are you talking about? You know, the Aeon is wildly popular. It's almost $300.
True.
You know, people went batshit crazy over Seba, despite the fact they were over $500 when they first dropped.
Yeah.
You know, people are willing to spend the money. they just need to know that it's worth it.
Yeah.
If there's no value in what they're spending $500 on, they're not going to be happy to spend it.
What do you think is the normal price that somebody would spend on a complete skate? So first of all, most people buy boot only now, right? You think that's, I don't know for sure, but you think it's a 50-50 split?
It probably, I think that would also depend upon the time of year. I think that fluctuates a little bit. I think there's times where especially when people like Create Originals re-up mm-hmm. and they get another order of frames, I think people will rush to buy frames right when they launch mm-hmm. or when they push out the new shipment that they got.
Yeah,
and there's one of my buddies in Connecticut, Pete, he had the same pair of Featherlight ones through, I think, 3 boots.
Wow.
Which I'm just like, I'm looking at his skates. I'm like, please buy new frames. Like, I'll buy them for you. He's like, I got a perfect groove. Why would I do that?
Yeah, well, and fair enough. Was he wearing through the boots? Like, why was he replacing his boots?
Because he skates like a motherfucker. So no, he was wearing through his... He just gets to the point where he doesn't like looking at them, or like they flop out or something.
Okay.
Like, when I first met him, he had Deshi Carbons, and then he had Carbon 2s, and then he had, what did he have after, Adapts? Mm-hmm.
But all with like the Featherlight ones.
Yeah, most of them with the Featherlight ones, and then he also had some Cultics for a couple of sessions. Mm-hmm. Creates, I think he bought Megas at one point mm-hmm. recently. But yeah, I mean, he's a soldier. Like, he's always down to blade, unless he has a wedding or something to go to.
Sure.
So the next time I'm in Florida, if I have some time, Pete, I'm coming to find you, bud.
Oh. Yeah, there's a lot going on in Florida. So I don't know what the average selling price of skates is. I know that, and I bought a set of Valo V13 Alex Broskow Midnights to just see what it's like. You know, I've been skating these Seba CJs for 3 months now, and mm-hmm. absolutely love them. But boot only, they're $500, $450. I mean, they're not cheap skates. People can't justify that. Like, you're saying that Aeons are pricey at $300. That's pricey. You know, complete. Skate is still over $500 if you're getting the Seba CJ.
So the way that I see that, like, if you're someone who just doesn't give a shit and they just want to beat the hell out of their skates, you know, why spend the extra money? There's no need. True. But if you're someone who has a background with a particular style of skate, like you do, you have your hockey background, you know, it's going to be more enjoyable for you. Especially if you liked the way that your hockey skates felt, you know, something like that is going to be, you know, you'll see value in that extra money.
Right.
Like, I see the value in it. I don't think I can convince the wife that there's value in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless I can get a great deal on Blade Trade, I don't think I'm buying Sebas anytime soon, which is fine. You know, I think we've established my feelings on UFS.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But I mean, I do also feel that I need to get a pair of UFS boots. Right. So I think I need to have something. So I might be hitting up Long for some Colts or something like that.
Yeah.
Here in the near future. We don't have anything on the docket that I'm aware of for immediate video production.
No, but, not yet.
But we'll figure something out. We'll figure something out, and we'll make it work one way or another.
Yeah.
But another thing that Power Slide and USD was showing at ISPO was the new USD Shadow Skate.
Yeah.
Which along with a couple other things that have been revealed today that I'm cautiously excited about.
Right.
Yet also, you know, trying to speculate as to exactly what's going to be there.
Right.
And I know that none of the speculation is going to get you anywhere or get you any legitimate answer. So it's just fucking wait it out.
Yep.
Let's see what's going to happen. So, but from the pictures that we had seen and through the video that Ricardo Lino posted on his YouTube page,
there was
some very interesting things that Power Slide's introducing to the Shadow Show. Excuse me. One of them being the foot wraps are no longer foot wraps.
Mm-hmm.
They're walkable liners now. So
they're
the
like
foot
high
wraps.
Tops.
they're like very, very high tops. Yeah. They're like Marty McFly wouldn't wear these high tops.
Yes.
But I see that as a good thing and a bad thing. I see it as a good thing in the sense that, you know, it's something that gives you a much more solid feel throughout your forefoot to your leg. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, that's a whole lot of foam that you got to compress and make sure that you can get it, you know, it's fitting right in all the places. And you might get a little bit of shifting with that, because you're not going to have the screw that's in the back of the cuff, in the cuff pad.
Right.
So you're going to be missing that. The screws that are on the side as well, that screw into the side of the cuff pads, you're going to be missing those.
Yep.
So there's concerns that I have, but not necessarily that are so glaring that I would completely put them out of my mind. But I am very interested in the 1.5 version, where it has the 1.0 cuffs, the old cuffs, with the new sole plate. I do have a lot of interest in that. I think that might also have been some of my problems with the 2.0s, mm-hmm. with the articulated cuff, where I was very used to the old cuff. So I think that might be the sweet spot for me for a UFS skate. But, you know, time will tell exactly what USD is going to bring to the Shadow skate.
Do you know when they're coming out?
I would probably imagine sometime before the summer, so they can capitalize on all those sweet, sweet people that used to skate them.
Yeah. What price were they? Were they like a $400 skate?
No. They were. You could get a skeleton for usually $170.
Okay.
Like a skeleton boot only.
Yeah.
So it was just the sole straps and cuff.
So then complete was like $250, maybe $3.
Yeah, $250, $280 almost. Okay. If it was a pro model or not, I think the pro model Farmers, when they dropped the Farmer Fours, which had the Create Originals 4x4 wheels, and the asymmetrical like snake print foot wraps, mm-hmm. I think those were like $320 or something like that, or $330, because of the OEM deal, I'm sure, with Create. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was a good skate. I had a pair. I had them with the all red soles. And thought I was hot shit. And then I had neon green ass wheels on them.
Nice.
But those were actually prototype wheels from Eulogy that that was just the urethane. That urethane that was on those neon green wheels is what's out now. Cool. With their new wheels now. So and it was significantly better than the old stuff. The old stuff was good, but it would last longer, but it wasn't as fast, it didn't rebound quite as much. Mm-hmm. But the new ones, while they wear a little bit faster, they roll faster, they feel better. They're just a better skate, especially with the new hub.
Got it. I need to try some Eulogy someday. I don't skate enough. I mean, I skate every week. I skate enough, but I don't feel like I skate enough to really give wheels a good break in. You know what I mean? Like I'm not skating all day like I used to. You know, I'm skating an hour a week, maybe 2 hours a week, and none of the wheels that I have, like the dead wheels that I put on, even skating anti-rocker, barely have any wear. And they're good wheels, don't get me wrong, but I would love to try all the different wheels and do like a wheel review, but I don't skate enough to know. Like what can I tell you about in a review? Like I think most people are interested in how quickly they wear and how they feel to ride. And I can do the how they feel to ride thing, but it's like, maybe I can, I don't know, get a treadmill or treadmill or something and have the wheels sit on it. You know, like that at IKEA where they have that thing that
they have
sits.
That chair that's,
You get one of those and just let the wheels go for a while and see how long they last. I got some ideas. Anyway, speaking of wheels, guess what I have coming on Monday?
Oh, your Conjure wheels?
My Conjure wheels are coming in.
Nice. That's
exciting. So excited, man. So excited. So Rob was on the last podcast, but Conjure Brand, him and...
Sean Smith.
Sean...
Smith.
Yeah, Sean Smith. I all I can think of is Sean Smith. Sean's my boy. Is that his Instagram?
Sean's your boy.
Sean's your boy, yeah. They have been making wax and t-shirts and stuff like that, hop-ups and customization of skates and everything for a while now, and they said, you know what, I'm going to start making wheels. Their wheels are being poured by the same company that makes Undercover and Matter and Ben's favorite Gods. they are 58 mil and 45D, right? Which is like a 92A something, 94A, yeah. Something crazy like that.
Crazy hard, yeah. Now, I talked to Rob about these wheels. They're actually 57.7 millimeters.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I told him that he should market them that way, and he wasn't interested.
Yeah, that's too much.
So I was like, you got to do it like that. That's going to be ridiculous. No one's going to believe you.
I'm sure there's tolerance issues. I mean, it's not going to be within the 0.7. Oh, how about this, Ben? I'll measure them for you when they come in.
That sounds good. Do you have a vernier calipers?
I have calipers in front of me, yes.
I believe it.
You know I do.
I believe it.
so anyway, super, super excited. Sean and Rob, super proud of you guys. I cannot wait to skate them. If you are interested, this is not an ad, but we love this and we want to help support Blader Run companies. And the wheels seem really cool. Conjurebrand.com or find them on Instagram. Check them out. Really reasonable price too. They just started shipping this weekend. So definitely, if you have the means and you need some new wheels, especially if you plan on riding flat 60s on Aeons or something else that fits a 58 mil wheel, these are probably the wheels that you want. Anyway, take off my... I'm selling things this time. What the hell is going on?
Whore.
I know. I don't know if I like this. So we talked about the Shadow. We talked about the 7. What do you want to talk about next? We've got...
Well, I mean, we kind of...
Wreck, or we've got Wreck.
yeah, that is kind of...
They kind of are, right?
So let's talk about the next, because we already kind of talked about them.
Yep.
You know, the next is going to be like a free skate / urban boot.
Yes.
Which if you're used to a hard boot and you kind of want to get in like a bigger wheeling thing and you want to do a little bit of recreational stuff, and maybe jump off a few things, perfect boot for you.
Absolutely.
It's got the Trinity. So if you wanted to go with the bigger wheel, like a 100 millimeter or a 90 millimeter, you could very easily do it and not like your learning curve will be much, much less. Because it'll be lower to the ground, it's going to feel like a smaller wheel, which will be really nice. And I think it looks pretty fucking sweet, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about this, a few weeks before when the initial images came out, but it's got this like this retro, like original TRS vibe going. Like,
oh, really, you had to bring that up, didn't
well,
you?
Well, I have to bring it up. Really clean lines, like a real, like, straight, like, look to it. It's not this, like, moldy, organic, like, artistic-y sort of thing. It just looks like this is a purpose-built skate. You know, like, they didn't mess around. Like, it's a very, you know, clean, like, this skate, you're going to put your foot in there and you're just going to go skate. Like, it's not for comfort. It's not for distance. This is just, like, an all-around... This is a good skate. I'm really excited. I gotta get me a pair when they come out. It would be my first Trinity skate. So these are the ones that I'm going to get.
I think you're gonna be really happy with the Trinity. I've got two pair of frames. I've got the 4x80s that came on my Kazis, mm-hmm. The blue ones, and then I have the casted 3x100s with. I got Undercovers, the Kangaroos, I think they are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whatever the red 100 millimeter Undercovers were, and I thought my daughter was going to be far more excited about those because red is her favorite color.
Yeah,
she was like, and she looked at him, she was like, "Cool." Back to Peppa, and went right back to Peppa Pig or whatever she was paying attention to.
Well,
so
I mean, that's a tough act to follow.
It is. And then there's Nick Lomax.
Oh my god.
This motherfucker. So Nick Lomax dropped, was that today or was that yesterday? Either way.
It was not today.
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But he dropped, or USD dropped, Powerslide, whoever the hell, dropped the USD A80 80mm Aeon promo video starring their golden child, their golden pony, Nick Lomax.
80 millimeter Aeon, dude.
just to prove that he's a bad motherfucker.
Like, I mean, I am not a good skater. I say this probably every podcast. I feel very confident and I love doing Royales. They are, on the left, my favorite trick. On the right, I like Souls. I warm up with the Mizzou, but I really like Souls. On the left, I Royale. You saw my Aeon 72 video. I could not Royale for the life of me. It took so long. I had to focus so much just to get boot down. Because if you don't get perfectly boot down, you're going to slip out. This guy's doing backside backslides.
And fast slides.
On, I think Aeon 80s.
I think he even did a putt slide.
My God. Like, how do you... Oh my God, he's so good.
Well, Nick Lomax gets paid to skate every day.
Well, it's true.
If I got paid to skate every day and I lived in a city that was a giant fucking skate park...
True.
I probably still would be nowhere near Nick Lomax's level, but I would be a significantly better rollerblader.
You could probably backslide on an 80mm Aeon. That's true.
I would be begging Matthias to send me whatever he wanted. Like, anything you want me to try, I'm going to do it. I'm your go-to guy to try whatever you want.
Yep.
If he told me to Royale a kink rail in 4x100s, I'd be like, I think it's a dumb idea, but, you know, you're the boss. Sure. If that's what you want me to do, I'm going to give it a go.
So what are these... So who is the market for the Aeon 80?
Fucking wizards?
Yeah, like, is it...
People like Nick Lomax?
Yeah.
Well, the way that I see it is someone who wants to have, like, an urban boot that's familiar because they're aggressive skaters, mm-hmm. and they still want to be able to, like, if they come across the perfect rail or whatever, like a small flat rail or something like that, that's a little bit smaller in circumference, like a 1-inch or 3/4-inch pipe, mm-hmm. and they want to do a back royal, perfect. They can do it. If they want a sweat stance just about anything on the planet, they can do that too.
Yeah.
They want a 540, a 12 set. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, an 80mm wheel is not going to be, especially with an Aeon. And then once you get used to it a little bit, that's not going to cause you any issues with doing a 5.
My, so my Seba right now are set up with the Kaiser Arrows, which are a 4x80 frame. They're an aluminum frame with a plastic slider, so you can do sole tricks without scraping the aluminum. But they're not really designed for Royale tricks. The frame is only 244, 1-4, so it's short. 244mm from wheel 1 to wheel 4. Sorry about that.
Center to center on the axles.
Exactly. Most, like, frames that I ride are at least 250 for aggressive. Like, the Ground Control Feather Lights were 256, maybe. And the Valo frames that I was riding were 270, and they felt a little long. So somewhere in between the 250, 270 is probably perfect for me.
Wow, the large Valo frame is 270?
270, yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's what 50-50s are. So they're 250, 270. I don't think we ever made a 230. We did make a 230 in the core system, but not for balance frames or the original UFS.
Okay.
Which is great for flat. I actually really like the 270 for flat, but that's because you have a different turning radius. Like, a wish frame is 286.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Is it? Jesus, I can't remember.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a long frame.
Cletus is going to yell at me if I get it wrong. So let me double check that. I might be wrong. Shoot.
Well, we don't have to double check it, Cletus. We're sorry.
Yeah.
We don't have the information right off the bat.
I think it's 26.
Please go to backtoblading.com/contact and let Law know how wrong he was about his measurement. Yeah, no big deal.
Find this post on Instagram and correct me. I think it's 286. It might be 284, but it's one of those two. It's really effing long. Which is why people complain, to be completely honest. It's just a very long frame. Now, if you're riding at a bit of a rocker, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, if you're riding it the way that Cletus felt that it should have been ridden,
exactly,
it's not going to be a problem. You're gonna have your grindability that you have with a normal frame. You're going to have your maneuverability that you have with a short frame, and you're going to have your speed that you have with your 72s.
Exactly.
Well, close to the speed that you have with 72s, because technically you're only going to go as fast as your smallest wheel. But
yeah,
you know, physics. Who uses that anymore?
Nobody. So speaking of physics, so the 80 mil.
No. Wait. We can't talk about that yet. Now, you mentioned the arrows.
Yes.
When I first moved here, I had V13s because I wanted to be cool, and I was hashtag volatility before the rest of those guys were.
You used to be
cool. So I used to be cool, and then I bought USDs, and then I'm awesome. Mm. So one of the first times that I skated at Payne's Plaza, which was the, you know, at this point it's not new anymore, but which was the newest skate park in Philly.
Okay.
Everybody loved it except for me because I've never really liked skating granite. Like, I've never liked grinding it.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure why.
It's a great feeling.
Fair enough. I never liked it. Yeah. But there was a guy that showed up, and he had the white Farmer 4s, the 4.1s, mm-hmm. with Kaiser arrows, mm-hmm. with the 80mm 88A in the outside, 94A on the inside, mm-hmm. doing backside unities and backside backslides on fucking, on curbs and ledges. Concrete ledges. They were dusty as fuck because bikers were trying to do, you know, peg grinds on them, and he was getting dust all over in the wax.
Right.
This dude was ridiculous. Wow. He was filming himself using a point and shoot camera.
Oh, of course.
In his hand.
Yeah, that's hipster for you.
And it wasn't Jeremiah was not a hipster. He knew a lot of things, but he wasn't a hipster. Like, this guy had balls of steel. It was ridiculous. The stuff that he was doing, he would start at the top. Like, the whole skate park is downhill.
Okay.
Because fuck you, this is Philly.
Yes.
So he'd start at the very top by the art museum where the Rocky statue is. And he'd drop in. There's a little quarter pipe there. He'd jump over these stairs. He'd carve around this. And just he would just bomb this thing as fast as he possibly could. And then the last of it, he'd do like a back unity or a backslide or something like that on the ledges. And I'm just looking at him like, fuck you doing, man? Yeah. But he was, the stuff that he was doing was absolutely ridiculous. I don't know where he's at now. I think he might be in California. Mm. But if Jeremiah, for some reason you see this or for some reason you hear this, I'm still amazed that you were doing that. You're still out of your fucking mind for that. He needs Aeon 80s.
And he would be the perfect person for him. I think that the arrows are too short. I think that 244 is too short for a flat, aggressive frame. But
I think it's too short for anyone with a size 8 skate or small or larger.
Yes.
So exactly. Even for me, at a size 9, it was borderline.
Yeah.
Because the advance were the same length. And right. I'll be perfectly honest, I thought they were a little skittish because they were a little on the short side, but I understand why Power Slide went with those dimensions.
Totally makes sense. I have a hard time landing gaps, skating backwards, like anything at speed with such a short wheelbase. However, I do love just skating, like just the feeling of skating, it feels like my hockey skates, like that setup, especially carbon. A carbon Seba with no sole plate, so the frame is directly on the carbon. It was an incredible feeling. I mean, it really feels like my hockey skates, but I'm on flat 80s, so I can go anywhere. I don't have to just stay on the ice, right? I think the Aeon 80 is going to feel almost as good as that aluminum frame with a carbon boot, but it's probably a longer wheelbase.
A little bit, yeah, because you've got the H block, and I think that H block is at least 20 mil.
Yeah, it's big enough.
Yeah, I mean it's small compared to some of the other stuff that's out there, but I mean you're looking at least a 250.
Yeah,
you know, probably more 255, maybe 260.
I mean, it depends on the size, right? I think the frame is different for like a 6.7.
But there's a very, very small difference from frame to frame, but there are differences. Jake Elliott, Loco, Ely, Jake, ooh. I'm sorry if I said it wrong. Jake Ely is the guy behind Go Project.
Okay.
And he also, I don't know, I hesitate to say he runs, but he works at Loco Skate Shop.
Okay.
Really smart guy. Really nice. I've talked to him a couple times about a couple of different things. But he did a video right when the Aeons came out showing the difference in length from the 6.7 or from the 5.6, 7.8, 9.10, etc. Mm-hmm. Showing the difference between the size of the frames. And those are US sizes I'm talking about for sure. Uh-huh. But yeah, he did a whole video showing that there is in fact a difference between the shells from frame to frame. It's a very marginal difference. It's a few millimeters, you know, from one to the next, but there is a difference.
Well, the Aeon 72's, the size 910 is 270. Okay. The ones that I had, the 72 mil, which again is the same as the Valo, is the same as the 50-50 balance. They were amazing skating flat. And I love 270 for skating flat. I think that is the perfect length for me. Skating any rocker though, it felt a little long.
Getting used to that 270 on an anti-rocker, after a few more sessions, you should get used to it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I might. So I'm going to try skating balance frames again. I really didn't like the Velo frame. I don't mind the V13 boot. I really don't. The size 10.5 fits my foot fine. The Royale is a little weird. The sole's a little weird. I had a really hard time landing sole checks, which was weird for me. Like, on all the skates that I've skated, I never had a problem. You know, jumping from an Aeon to a Seba to a Shift, no problems. But I had a really weird time landing sole checks on these. I don't know what to blame. Like, it was a busy day at the skate park, so I might have been compensating to get around people, but I'm sure something was just funky. So
it's a different shape too.
Yeah, it's a different lift. It's the first heel lift skate that I've lifted heel skate that I've had since, I mean, the TRS back in the days, probably.
Yeah, probably.
So I don't know what it is, but I'm going to go back to the balance frames. They're still 170, so I'll skate those. I'll skate them in a rocker and see how they are. But yeah, those Valo frames, they just felt really, I don't know, like I needed to break them in, and I don't have the patience to break them in. Like, I feel like they're good for people who, if you need a complete skate, $200, that's pretty great. But I'll keep the wheels, I'll keep the bearings and the anti-rocker wheels, but I'm gonna switch out the frames.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, I like the Valo frame for what it is. It's inexpensive. It's a great frame if you want to skate like a 60 flat, but you don't want to spend a ton of dough on like symmetrics.
Yep.
So you can't beat it. I was able to get 62 millimeter wheels in there.
Mm.
Or no, 61s. The 61 millimeter. I bought some Argon 1.1s a couple years back. And I still... Did. Yeah. I miss those.
Yeah.
But I actually sent you pictures when I decided to drill out the rivets on one of the cuffs and put it on my Aeons, because why not?
Yep.
It was a horrible idea.
Yeah.
It looked terrible.
Yeah. Worth a try.
For sure. But, you know, the Valo flat frames will easily fit a 61, probably even a 62 millimeter wheel. But, I mean, it's a great frame. You know, you definitely can't say anything bad about it, you know. Cheap, you can crank it down real tight.
Yep.
It's one of the frames that that Joey McGarry prefers. Pretty sure Todd prefers that as well. Other than the K2 frames that they've been testing for a while.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's fine. Again, it's
yeah, for a budget skate,
you can't go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Especially if you skate a lot of ledges, because you'll break those frames in real quick.
Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to buy those skates for much longer.
That's true.
So what a week.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Fucking week.
Yeah.
So when was it? Thursday?
Yeah, it seemed
to be. Bring up that Instagram.
Might have been Wednesday, actually.
2 days ago, it says. Oh, stupid Instagram doesn't tell me the day. February 8th. What is it? We're recording on the 10th. So it was 2 days ago. It was Thursday.
Okay.
John Julio posts that Valo is no more. Thank you for the best of times. 15 epic years, and we have been through a lot. It's been an amazing run. We created something that won't be forgotten, but given that our business structure has not worked for some time, we have mutually agreed to close our doors. R.I.P. Valo.
It was,
dude.
That was sad to read.
I don't think anybody expected that.
No, expected it? Absolutely not. I don't think there's anyone that expected it in any shape, form, or fashion.
Absolutely not. Like, Follow has been the rock of aggressive skating for so long. They have the most Instagram followers of anyone, right?
Probably.
It's
probably crazy. I don't know exactly what they have, but
so the last couple of days has been interesting. So first, you know, John posts that, which must have been late the Thursday night, maybe, and then maybe Friday morning I woke up to the news. I mean, everybody's talking about it. This was a crazy Friday. Rosie's then posts, you know, on Instagram again. So for those who don't know, Rosie's was Valo. Like, John and Rosie's partnered up to build Valo. But Rosie's did all of the production and all of the building of the skates, the distribution of the skates. And Rosie's posts and says, you know, this long Instagram post that they're excited, that the moment has come, which we have looked to so long. Horrible English. Who writes this stuff?
Italians.
We are excited to announce, comma, that the moment has come, which we have looked to so long, colon. Rosie's itself wants to dive again into the water of street/aggressive skating. I mean, if you're going to write in English, get somebody who... anyway, so Rosie's obviously is the original producer of the TRS, like the rollerblade skate, back in the early 80s, right? They've been around forever. They had some iconic skates. They had the Majestic 12. They had the Fifth Element. They had the Cootie.
Yeah, we simmered down with that one. That wasn't quite iconic.
Well, they had the Fifth Element.
It was a good skate. The Fifth Element was 100% an iconic skate.
Absolutely.
The Majestic 12 was an iconic skate. I mean, you're not going to find a skate that's been around longer, right, or, you know, many more things have been done in, so.
True. But then in, what was it, 2003, Valo became the aggressive branch of Rosie's. So yep. Valo was Rosie's aggressive. Rosie's has continued to make skates. I actually put a link in the notes that I'll put in the thing of a new Rosie's Tri-Skate, which looks pretty interesting. So the frame, it comes with white wheels, and they have white painted on the frame. So it looks like there's just wheels floating. It's really crazy.
Yeah, they call it the TIF that you see there, the Lab 3x10 TIF.
TIF, yeah.
That means the invisible frame.
I love it. And I see, you know, the boot looks okay, right? I mean, I don't know anything about Rosie's. I don't know if they're good. I don't know what. I'm assuming it's a standard 165 mil mount. I'm assuming for sure that it's just a nice, maybe some sort of a carbon, some sort of a whatever boot. But I don't know where to find Rosie's, you know? Like, any skate shop around here is going to have Valo. They're not going to have Rosie's.
Inline Warehouse skate sells them.
Do they? Okay, I'll look at that and see if I can at least study up on them. But Rosie's is now getting back into the aggressive market, I guess.
Well, they never left. They still produce the Majestic 12.
Yeah.
Net side by side with V13.
True.
So I mean, again, if you even in the last 2-3 years, if you were on Inline Warehouse, you could find, you know, quite easily, Majestic 12s.
For sure.
Roller Warehouse, when I came back, up until I think 2012, was selling Majestic 12s, white and black. Sure. So they were there. They were available. They were just not as prevalent as, you know, Valo's.
Yeah. And
which is probably by design.
I guarantee it. I mean, they stopped their Fifth Element line, the Fifth Element Cootie Grawl line, which was the non-UFS line. And yeah, they only have the Majestic 12, which is fine. Valo was a great brand. You know, it was an iconic brand for 15 years. It was the core, hashtag core,
jerk.
hashtag core brand. It was like, that was what I wanted coming back. I wanted Volos. And why did I want Volos? Because that's what I saw everybody skating.
Yeah.
Like, that was the brand. Like, that was the skate company, and now they're gone. So Rosie's is not going to have that same marketing. They're not going to have that Volo heart that John had. John owns Them Goods. Them Goods has been the distributor of many things over the years, but as of today, they have Youth Frames, which John owns, and Them Goods wheels and bearings. And in the last couple of days, or maybe just the last day, I mean, everything's moving so quickly, I can't keep up. In the last day, the completely bizarre, the Volo brand Instagram has turned into the Them. Is Volo brand? So I'm getting lost. So Instagram.com/Volo brand. Volo brand now has zero posts and is private. Wait, what did I do? That can't be. What did they do? I just pulled it up.
Because the Volo brand then is now the Them Skates brand.
So what? This is so confusing. So Them Skates is the new Volo brand. So Volo brand was the old Instagram slash Volo brand. Now it's Them Skates. Them Skates is the new skate brand from John Julio and Them Goods.
Yes.
Did I get that all right? Because it's crazy. So it's crazy. First, that Volo is no longer. It is even crazier that Them Skates, I'm looking at who they follow. They have distribution in the UK, in Brazil, in Puerto Rico, in PL. I don't know what PL is.
Poland.
Poland. In NYC, I would assume. All these, I'm looking at the Them Skates Instagram and who the people they're following, and those, there's like eight people. Those, that's it. But they have 45,000 followers, so it's like they took all of the followers from the old Volo brand account, just changed it over, and now it's
because this still showed up even as early as, even as late as like yesterday when I was at lunch. This still showed as Volo brand.
Yeah.
With one post, which was the press release, quote unquote, 45,000 followers and following one person, John Julio.
It is crazy.
So here's what I think happened.
Yep.
John Julio had been plotting something.
Okay.
He's like, something is going to happen and I need to have a backup. Because John is a smart guy. He's not dumb.
Yes.
So he's going to make sure that he's going to cover his ass, you know, because he has a second kid on the way that he's got to support.
Yeah.
So he's going to make sure that he does what he needs to do to make sure that he can continue to maintain, you know, his brand, his lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. He's got to make his nut.
Of course.
So he's like, all right, so when this happens, I'm going to be able to go directly into the next project.
Right.
So Wednesday night, he or Victor or someone that was with him or he went through the Volo brand Instagram, delete.
Can you imagine going through that? They must have had thousands. They've been around forever.
Yeah, I think they literally had like 3,000 posts. Probably took a ridiculous amount of time.
45,000 followers, so they must have had so many posts.
They're probably chomping on plenty of Adderall trying to stay awake and get that done. Like, I can do this so fast now.
Delete.
Yeah, just over and over and over. And then they said, all right, now is the time. There's no turning back once I hit post. Because once he hits post, someone's going to see it, someone's going to print screen it, and they're going to shit themselves all over social media.
Instantly,
yeah, absolutely. So then he was just like, all right, well, that's the start. So let's see where this goes. And then today they post a picture of a silhouette of a skate that I'm not going to hold judgment on. I'm going to reserve judgment.
So
we already had a discussion via Messenger earlier about him. So
we've been speculating. So there is a, so Blade Tech, the group that you no longer are part of, on Facebook. I will link to the post if you are
God, I'm sure they're vomiting all over themselves. It's great.
So there's a guy who took, let me send you a screenshot since you're...
Did you see the spy shot? Is that what you're going to link me to?
I did see the spy shot, but that is not what I'm linking you to. So okay. This is what they've done is... So the picture on the Them Skates Instagram is a silhouette of the skate. What they did is they put it into Photoshop and they cranked with the levels to see if they could figure out what it was. And they found a silhouette. So they've been comparing the silhouette and they're sleuthing, right? So there's a consensus that it's a Sabotage shell, and they've been posting pictures. That looks pretty close to me. I think
it's not a Sabotage shell. It's the fucking Bauer mold.
The Bauer. Oh, okay.
The old Bauer respect and civility and stuff like that. That's that old mold.
So what was the Sabotage? Is that the...
Sabotage was the old Ultra Wheels boot that was essentially, a mildly stylized version of the TRS / Rossi's mold. So this has, when I very first saw this, I immediately thought of the Bauer mold, and there's a couple of reasons why. If you look on the cuff, it looks like there's a little flip down. Like the liner goes over the top of the cuff a little bit. You know, could be way wrong. Again, this is just a silhouette. We don't know what the hell's going on. So that's one
soon.
Part.
We will soon.
We will very soon.
So speculation is that they're going to tell us at Winter Clash, right?
That's the speculation, yeah, because it makes sense.
Yeah.
Julio was posting pictures, all over China.
Yep.
And he's going to be there anyway.
Yep.
They blacked out the inside. Wow. So whoever took that picture purposefully blacked out the boot itself.
So good.
Probably because they knew some motherfucker's gonna do this bullshit.
So good.
Yep. Fuck it. I'm gonna go for Big Air. So when that picture was posted and I lost my mind. Because the very first thing that I saw was that lacing. And the very first thing that I thought was that Airwalk skate or the Bauer skate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how? How is John Julio, our hero, our savior,
I mean,
after Chris Edwards retired, how is he going to go from making Volo skates, probably some of the best looking skates that's ever come out,
yeah,
to this?
I mean, my V13s are amazing.
I have another theory.
All right.
John Julio has nothing to do with that mold. He's going to post a picture of a Bauer Civility and be like, haha, I got you, motherfuckers. This is the actual this is the actual skate that's going to be coming out. I can't wait for you to spend all your money on this because you're going to want to buy three pairs the second these drop.
Well, I mean, anything is possible.
I still think my theory holds weight. John Julio got with the Chinese manufacturers of the TV skates.
Nice.
And that's what he's going to do. I think he's actually... He's pulling our legs.
Yeah.
He's leading us on. He's getting us into a frost. Because every rollerblader that's in existence, every rollerblader that's on social media and that has a cell phone at this point knows about this.
Yep.
They know that John Julio has departed Volo. And they know that some shenanigans is afoot.
This is true.
So there's discussions all over the world probably still happening. This is brilliant marketing. My hat's off to you, Mr. Julio. I could never think of anything like this.
There's none better. There never will be anyone better. Yeah.
What other marketing genius can topsail like John
this
Julio?
This is true. This is true.
I know I can't, but I'm no marketing genius either. I'm barely a competent welder.
So yeah, this has been a very interesting way to end the week. I don't think anybody expected this happening.
so stressful for me. for no reason. I'm not invested in the company.
I was going to say, I hope you're okay. Yeah, I'm excited. I think, I think John's a smart dude, like you said. I think, whoever he ends up working with or sending out, I'm all for it. I cannot wait to get a set and try him.
He's not going to lead us astray.
No, absolutely not.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. So on to happier subjects.
Yeah.
That involve Rosies.
Yes.
So that little YouTube video with Renee Holgreen, was that the first Rosie's Team video?
No.
That was from?
Did you see? So you need to watch this if you haven't. There is a there was a quick documentary, 5 minutes about Renee Holgreen.
I did see this.
Did you see this? It has subtitles.
Yeah.
It talks about how he's now a brewer, working at a brewery, and having some health issues from the concussions that he used to get, and his body is all like destroyed, and it's like this bittersweet sort of like, it's awesome to see Renee again, it's awesome to see how happy he is in life. But it's like, dude, rollerblading was the best thing to happen to him and the worst thing that happened to him.
Yeah. You know?
It's so, like, if you haven't watched, you've seen it, but if you're listening, if you haven't watched it, it's definitely worth a listen to. Renee, if you watch The Hoax, if you watch, Mad Beef or any of the old school videos, was the vert guy that wasn't Chris Edwards. You know, like, there was Chris Edwards, there was Tom Fry, there was Manuel Billeris, and, I mean, Renee, really, right? I can't think of anybody else. Jimmy. Like, those were the big vert skaters of the days, and nobody was doing things like Renee. He was on a different level. He was doing flips, like, side, like, I don't know what they're called, but, like, Chris Edwards would go big, and he would do big fives, and he would do big five, like McTwists and such. But Renee would do almost like quad skating. Like, I know that he used to be a quad skater, so that's probably it. But he would do like a quad, like kind of turn himself sideways and do flips. It was amazing to watch him.
Yeah, Renee Holgreen was ridiculous. Like, as much of, so a lot of people back then were capable of skating just about anything. So as capable as Renee Holgreen was on a vert ramp was comparable to how capable Tom Fry was on street. And then adversely, Renee Holgreen could do some stuff on street and Tom Fry could do some stuff on vert. But like, there's a reason that the Viking flip is called the Viking flip. And that's because this motherfucker invented it.
No.
But it's like, he was just so... He's so good.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember, they might have been 3 or 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I randomly found him on Facebook, and I sent him a friend request, and it took him a couple of weeks, but he finally responded, finally accepted. And so, like, I sent him a message, huge T-Dog. I was just like, you were the best. I loved Hoax 3. It was amazing. So, and, like, I made a Facebook status. I was like, for those of you that know, you are going to know how cool this is, but the Viking just accepted my friend request on Facebook. If you don't know what I'm talking about, carry on. So, a couple people obviously knew who that was, and they're like, that's awesome!
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just the stuff that he was capable of so early in rollerblading was amazing. Like, I really wish that he could have stayed as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
And still be doing stuff. Like, that'd be... I don't know if I could have... handled it. So I was half.
Are you watching
that.
The Super Bowl over there?
God no. No, I was watching the little documentary on
Renee. Yeah.
Yeah, it was on mute, and like I touched the screen to see where it was, and He's like, oh, touch here to unmute. Thanks, YouTube.
You know,
stop
updating,
idiot.
I don't want to take you off of your... So I think, absolutely, Renee, amazing. More power to you. I have two follow-ups to your discussion here. First of all, are you the guy that sends friend requests to people that you've never met?
I don't like this line of questioning, Law.
Here's the question. So okay. I was living my life just happily as an old 40-year-old dude until I started doing the back to blading thing. And then I started getting random Facebook requests. And I've got absolutely nothing wrong with talking with people. Like, I am a friendly dude on Facebook. Please send me messages. I get them all. Same as Instagram. Same on YouTube. You can look at the comments. Like, I love talking with people. But I have a weird thing about friend requests on Facebook because I have a private account and I put pictures of my family and like my wife and my kids, and like Facebook to me isn't that network. Like Instagram is that network. Like I'm totally open, you know, at Law Power on Instagram. I put pictures of my kids up there sometimes. I put pictures of bourbon that I'm drinking or anything else. That's kind of my public thing. The Facebook thing is kind of my private thing. So I've been getting a lot of Facebook requests, and I don't want to be a dick about it, you know? But I don't accept them unless I know you, like, or I have had conversations with you, you know what I mean? Like, it's a weird thing for me. And I don't know that I might be the weird one, right? I mean, maybe that's not normal. But that's just the way that I kind of roll on Facebook.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, there's still plenty of people. And yeah, I have sent friend requests to people because I felt like I had a connection with them.
And that might be the difference, right? You might, and we might be different that way. Like, I don't see it that way. But
then the difference is, like, and this is something that I've noticed through podcasts in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I have a connection with Bill Burr. I feel like I have a connection with Bert Kreischer and Joe Rogan because I listen to their podcasts so much. But if I saw them at a comedy club and just said, hey, I love your podcast. I've been listening for years. Do you remember when he said this one thing 60 years ago? I thought that was the funniest shit in the world. They're going to be like,
what?
Are you going to murder me right now? Because I think that's kind of what's going to happen. But like, then it's weird because like, I feel the same thing with some of these people like Brian Bell. I sent Brian Bell a friend request and pretty much immediately he accepted it because I think that's just kind of dude that he was.
Sure.
And like, I was able to kind of have a little bit of a conversation. We actually had a little bit of a history when I was in Iowa.
Okay.
He had this thing in one of his old videos, like, send me a page. Here's my pager number. So I sent him a page, and he called me. In Iowa, and I was just like, I'm talking to fucking Brian Bell right now. This is amazing.
That's crazy.
And so, like, when I got to San Diego, like, I hit him up again. And I said, hey, this is Ben. You know, I talked to you when I was in Iowa. He's like, cool. Do you want to go skate at Daily Bread? And I was like, yeah. why would I not want to go skate at Daily Bread with Brian Bell? That's
an epic
like
trip.
The 14-15 year old me is screaming his head off right now and punching himself in the face to try to calm down. But like, it was just like I'm kind of meandering a little bit, but yeah,
no,
like I do that because I feel those connections. Some of the other people that don't accept my friend requests,
right?
I probably have 95 friend requests that are pending because I either don't know who they are or I don't want them to be my friends on Facebook.
Yeah, and I don't want to be, I'm saying this now because I want to make sure that anybody listening knows, I appreciate you. I think it's amazing that you're interested in connecting more. I would love to chat. The friend thing is a little weird for me. It just might be me, but that's Facebook. Instagram is different. YouTube obviously is different, but for me, Facebook is a very family, like people that I've actually met in real life and have conversations with.
Yeah, and that's why I've been very tempted to get rid of Facebook on usually after I get into an argument on Blade Tech or something like that. I was just like, fuck this, I'm just going to delete my Facebook. And I was like, I have aunts that I haven't talked to in years, but they comment on Emily's pictures all the time, so let me not do that.
Yeah,
they still need to see pictures of her.
It's like you have a wedding, you have to invite these people. Like, you don't really want them to show up, but
like, you have to make the effort.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so second question. So, yes, first question, Facebook. Okay. Second question, did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think, how many Bladers do you think watched the Super Bowl?
Probably a lot of them.
Do you think that's a normal thing? Because I didn't, right? I have no interest whatsoever. I know who was in it because I'm on Twitter and I know things, I guess.
And people were vomiting all over, like, Philadelphia and fucking...
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, my coworker is a big Pats fan, so he's from Boston, so he's like, whatever, Tom Brady. But
kid, fucking Tom Brady is a hero.
But
he saved a kid from a burning building.
Yeah, I know nothing about football, and I'm happy. Like, I grew up a 49ers fan back in the Joe Montana days, the Jerry Rice, the Roger Craig, like the when they had the rings coming at them.
Yeah,
and that was my pinnacle of sports. That was before I found blading, and as I started rollerblading, I stopped paying attention to sports. And I play hockey, but I don't watch hockey. I'm curious if you feel that the normal blader, right, who considers themselves, this is what I do, right? Mm-hmm. I rollerblade. Are they interested in the Super Bowl? Do you think they watched it? How many people do you think? What's the percentage?
I'd say it's pretty high.
Okay. Because it's such a thing.
If I were to,
right,
put a number on it, I would, yeah, because it's a thing.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like who watched, you know, the Bears week 6.
Yes.
You know, yeah, get, yeah, yeah, you know, win against the Saints or whatever that was.
Sure.
You know, like I could give two shits about the game. If I don't go to the game, like my wife's a Giants fan, so ipso facto, I'm a Giants fan. I don't know if that was the right phrase, by the way, but you know, I'm a Giants fan, I'm a Yankees fan because my wife is a fan of those. But I had no allegiance to a team in the past. The only reason I was a fan of the Minnesota Twins was because I was born in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked the Athletics for a while because when I played in Little League, you know, that was the team that we were given.
Oh, that's,
you know,
funny.
So, like, that was the first team that I remember playing on. We had little A's caps and little emblems on our chest and everything. And, you know, the plumbing shop that was in town that sponsored our team, you know, on the back of the shirts.
Nice.
So, I mean, I liked the A's. I collected baseball cards. I enjoyed playing baseball, but I mean,
yeah,
same thing. Once I found a skateboard and I could bomb a hill on it, mm-hmm, and not kill myself.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, this is a lot more fun than baseball. And I fell from grace when it came to baseball, so to speak, because I was just over it at that point.
Right.
But I mean, I never played football. I mean, I can throw football, I can kick a football, I can play touch and everything like that. But mm-hmm, I never played in school or anything like that. Like that was like a religion in West Texas.
Yeah,
it was pretty fucking horrific. You know, it was not my scene. I definitely didn't like it because, you know, football players got preferential treatment,
right,
and especially if they were playing well or if the team was doing well.
Right.
So
I think you grew up in football world, and I mean, California isn't a very sports
place. Well, considering, you know, they have three baseball teams.
Yeah, but it's not. You'd be surprised. Like, out here in North Carolina, like, basketball is everywhere. You know, we have Duke, NC State, and UNC just within, you know, driving distance, like 20 minutes. You have basketball hoops on every driveway. It is ridiculous. So basketball is huge here, and collegiate sports is huge here. We don't have like a pro team aside from the Hurricanes. We have the Durham Bulls, which is our AAA baseball team. But we don't have a basketball team. Like, college is our basketball. In California, I don't know. Maybe it was, but it wasn't a huge, like, especially Southern California. Like, nobody gave a shit about the Dodgers or the Angels, you know? Like, or the Padres. Like, I don't know. And maybe it's the world that I lived in, which is the rollerblading world, the alternative sports sort of thing. And that's kind of my question. Like, do you think that people who rollerblade who are in this alternative world are at all interested in mainstream sports to a point where they would watch the Super Bowl?
I don't think, I mean, it's possible that they're interested in it because of the game. But it could just be because it's a gathering and they want to hang out with their friends.
Yeah.
And they want to be able to talk about it at work the next day and not look like an idiot.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's alternative reasons for it. All right. Fair. I got my answer. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Sorry for putting you on the spot.
No, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, like, it was important to me and to, like, because I think it was important to my dad, or at least I had the idea that it was,
sure,
to be proficient in sports.
Sure.
So, like, I can play golf. I have a pretty good golf stroke.
Nice.
You know, I can barely hit the ball fucking straight to save my life, but I look good while I'm doing it. I can hit just about any pitch that's 60 miles an hour slower because, you know, I haven't done it in years and years.
Nice.
You know, I can catch a football, I can throw it, et cetera, et cetera. I can play soccer until I have to double over and try to catch my breath because I'm way out of shape.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's all stuff that I can do, and I can speak to those sports and say, all right, you know, when you do this, you got to make sure you do that, and, you know, keep this elbow up, or, you know, keep doing this with your arms to make sure of this. You know, I know stuff about it, but I mean, it's one of those, like, jack of all trades kind of things. Like, I'm capable of doing it, but I'm not the best at it.
Understood.
Which is like back royals. I'm capable of it, but I'm nowhere near the best at it.
Oh, back royals feel so good.
Yeah, and you're doing pretty well.
Well, I mean, I never was able to before, and I just, it was one of those things. I always wanted to, just like you, like, always wanted to, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to learn it. All right,
so
now we're done with the depressing.
Yeah, that was, I really thought that was going to be a bigger chunk than it was, to be perfectly honest. Oh, that went pretty well. It's rough. So
I don't know how to pick up from there. We could talk about some VODs that came out.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk
that
about,
could be happy. Let's talk about Eugen, our friend Eugen.
Yes.
We haven't talked about Eugen yet. Let's talk about something fun.
Well, no, we did, because I brought him up.
Dale, he's so good.
He is.
Have you seen the? Eugen, so good. Have you seen the Facebook edit that's been making the rounds? It's just like this real quick. A lot of clips from his. What was the name of that edit that he had? Bebop. The Bebop. The Bebop clips, where he does the fish to alley-oop fish. On that
rock, that trick is ridiculous. And technically, that's fish to true fish.
Is it true because of the way that he's spinning from the grind? I thought a true was only a.
What the fuck's going on?
God, I don't know.
No, it's true fish. It's true spin based upon the way that you spin into the grind. That's the way that I always understood it. Like alley-oop Mizu.
So what if he was? What if he was doing a Farside Macchio?
You can't do that true spin.
I know, that's the point. Maybe it's not true spin. Maybe he's just an alley-oop Macchio.
I think he's pretty disciplined with his fish planes. And all right, so Eugen, if you hear this, replicate that trick on a ledge and prove to law
true
fish.
He decided not to do it on a ledge. He was doing it on a handrail.
I'm just saying. The motherfucker can do it on anything he wants. He could probably do it on my kitchen counter.
he could do whatever he wants.
Yeah, that was curious. The one that was. This is the video that was shared on Tuesday.
Yeah.
From CPPS. Yeah, yeah. I shared that too. With it's the caption, so watch good. One of the best in the game do some of the best tricks the role winning world has ever seen. Such a fantastic fucking.
So many people have watched that. So good.
Yeah. It is so good.
The pinnacle of what rollerblading is right now, and I don't know that Eugen is the big gap guy. I don't know.
Boom! That that's a true fish. That's you have no argument. But do you think Eugen knows that he's one of the best in the world?
Yes. But I think he's humble enough to say, oh, I don't know. Montre's pretty good. You know what I mean?
With that. Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's that humble dude that's like, I just like to go skate. I'm having a really good time with it. Oh, that was a fun trick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God, he's so good.
Yeah.
So he had a couple other. The guy just blasts out VODs every other week. There was.
Do you know what I'm afraid of?
Yes. Clowns.
How did I fucking know you're gonna say that? No, I'm not afraid of clowns. I can give a shit. No. So here's what I'm afraid of. When Frankie joined USD. He was a clip machine. He was putting out content left and right. He had an edit and it's specific to the classic throne, you know, as it was released then. He had one with the UFS thrones. He had one with carbons. He had one with carbon freeze. Like, he had an edit with just about everything that was in USD's lineup. And then he started pumping out his Jordan skates. So then, like, after the first Jordan skate came out, the white one, it kind of dropped off. Like, you didn't see a lot of stuff from Frankie after that.
Okay.
And you still haven't. I don't see a lot of stuff from Frankie nowadays, especially not, like, when he first joined the team.
No, there's a couple of clips, but, yeah, it's rare.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was putting out, like, sections every 3 weeks. It was ridiculous. Like, he was putting out a ton of content. So here's what I'm worried about, and here's what I hope does not happen, because I absolutely fucking love watching this guy skate. I hope that doesn't happen with Oregon. You know, because he's just so good. He's just so enjoyable to watch skate, because he's, like, he's the mystery machine. What's he going to do next?
Yeah, you don't know. He does switch-ups that you've never thought about.
Yeah, and he, like, when he did that, the Blader Union VOD, yeah, and people were just pulling switch-ups out of their ass.
Yeah.
He's like, that's going to be hard. First try.
Oh, that wasn't as hard as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
He's doing just backside backslides, but it's like, oh, I'm going to grab with both hands.
So ridiculous. Oh, he's just him. So good. Like I really hope that even if he slows down a little bit, I hope that he doesn't stop putting stuff out, because I really, really enjoy watching him skate.
Yeah, agreed. So I have three links that I will put in the show notes. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast before and check out the show notes, backtoblading.com/podcast/10 is probably the episode for this.
Yeah.
But just go to podcasts and you'll find it. It'll be easy.
And if you want to find any of his other VODs or edits, just look in the show notes on all the rest of our episodes, because we talk about him just about every time.
Every single episode there is an Eugen mention, because the guy is so good. One of his edits that I'm going to put in there is soap shoes. Did you ever own soap shoes?
I didn't. We just used shoes and waxed the fuck out of curbs and ran at them as fast as we could.
Oh my god. Didn't die. He's so funny. Like, to live the life that Eugen is living is just great. Like, what does he do all day? Does he have a real job? Like, is this his job? Like, is this what he does?
If he has a real job, I hope it's just to break the monotony of having to kill yourself by going skating every day.
Absolutely agree. He looks like he's living the best life. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Him, Nick Lomax, you know, Richie Eisler. Mm. Well, Richie has said that he works when he's out skating, but I don't know exactly what he does. Maybe it's just video editing, and he can do it, you know, online kind of thing. But, like, geez. Like, I can't believe. I wish that I would have seen into the future and known to learn coding or software engineering or something like that. There's something that I could do on the run, so to speak, and be able to say, like, you know what? I want to take a week-long trip, you know, to Oak City. Let's go hang out with Law and Long for a couple of days, and then just go do that, and then continue to be able to work, like, pull over onto a, you know, truck stop, sit there for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, do a little bit of work, get on down the road. But no, I had to be a welder.
Well, somebody's got to.
That's true. Someone's got to do it. It's a dirty job.
I can't leave my work. I'm chained to my desk. Typing the code.
But the important part is if you enjoy it.
And I do.
That's all that matters then.
I am extremely happy. The guy is amazing. So he does this edit with soap shoes. I never owned soap shoes. I've put them on before and done some curbs, I think. But I've never done anything with soap shoes. I know that Long has a couple pair of soap shoes, if anybody's interested.
Yeah, if you're a size 7 or a size 9.
Yep, hit them up.
He might still have them. So one of these videos that's been on this topic list for quite some time that I feel like we touched on once or twice, but never really went in detail on it, was the Riga tour that Niels Janssens did.
Uh-huh.
And that was a really fucking cool video.
Really cool video, right?
I saw that and I was just like, I don't think I'm going to like that. That doesn't look like it's going to be enjoyable. And, like, I avoided it for a few weeks. And then I actually watched it. I was like, that was really, really cool.
Yeah, very cool.
You know, it was very enjoyable to watch. It was good. If you have not seen it, I'm sure it's going to be in the show notes.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth watching. It definitely makes me want to visit Lithuania and try to find Nils and hang out with him and feel like I'm a cool guy.
Yeah, he just seems like he's having so much fun. Like,
absolutely.
That's the whole thing. Like, the seriousness in blading is just, it's not for me. Like, I totally get the people who are very serious and, you know, who take this very seriously. And, like, it is a serious thing. Like, you're going to get hurt if you don't focus. But you can have fun doing it. So, taking it the complete opposite way, have you ever seen any, I don't know his real last name, but have you ever seen any of the videos from Brent?
Who does Brent, like, Trinidad?
Yeah, who does like the parkour skating stuff.
I've seen a couple of his things, yeah. And he's fucking incredible.
Isn't he incredible? Like
the stuff that he can do is really, really cool.
It's cool. Yeah, he's got this, I don't know, like he's having fun. He's looking at things differently. I think he's from Boston.
Yeah, I think he's from Boston, living in either Arizona or Las Vegas.
Okay.
Or from the Northeast, living out that way.
Okay. Yeah.
He's Montre with less visibility. Fair. And I'll be honest, I think it's because of his parkour influences. Because Matt Ledeau was, you know, an amazing parkour guy, you know, also an amazing rollerblader and a stuntman. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. for movies and shit, and you know, everybody that sponsored him dropped the ball, you know, trying to say like, hey, if you're into parkour, check out Shadows. Mm. It's perfect. If you want to do, was it a Kong vault, you can do that on skates. And then you say, you know what, I'm gonna do it on my shoes too. Take my skates off, boom, do it right there.
Yeah,
that's the thing where you do like the Superman thing and like you put your hands down.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it. But
no, I mean, not flexible enough for that.
I mean, I'm sure eventually if I tried it over and over and smashed my knees against whatever I was trying to do it on, I could do it. But
well, so this guy Brent, he definitely does it. Like this video that he's doing a monthly video, I think, called Schematics, where he's got like this, I don't know, 4-minute video or whatever of just a bunch of stuff that he's put together. And I have a feeling that he's very much like me, where he goes out by himself, sets up a tripod, sets his shot, does his thing, and then comes and gets his camera and then gets out of there. But he's doing stuff that's like looking at the terrain completely differently.
Like, for sure.
The first trick, he's skating a ledge, not grinding a ledge, but skating a ledge. And he jumps from one ledge to another ledge, jumps and grabs onto a tree, flings himself up to the next ledge, and then flies off it. Like, that's crazy.
That is a little ridiculous.
I love it. If you haven't taken a look, check him out. Follow him on Instagram. Like, he's a really nice guy. We chatted a little bit a couple weeks ago. It goes back to what I saw in Joey and Todd, looking at skating differently, you know, like don't be confined by what the rules are, right? Do your thing. Like, what Awe does, with, you know, he's very parkour-y as well, but, with his skating, it's just very, I don't know. He just kind of sees things differently. Like, he just sees stairs as like an adventure, like multiple platforms that he can jump on and spin around. I love it. I don't have that vision. I can't see things that way, and I can't commit to throwing my body up there. So when I see people doing it, like, it makes me so happy.
Agreed. Yeah, I definitely feel the same way. I wish I could open my mind like that. But it's just not something I'm capable of. Same thing with art type stuff. Like, I can't open my mind to it. I can color shit in real well, but I can't draw it.
Oh, I'm bad.
You know who we haven't talked about a lot?
Who?
Chris Haffey.
We haven't talked about Chris Haffey.
Why? No, we really haven't. I don't know.
Weird, isn't it?
I think it's because he's not in the eye anymore. He's not in the eye rollerblading quite as much as he used to be.
You've mentioned him a lot on his drip drop section, but that's just like a, hey guys, do you want to know how crazy rollerblading can be? Boom. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good representation of the insanity
that
rollerblading is capable of. But he even had that dirt jump.
Yes. I know.
I saw somewhere someone else had posted that somewhere and tagged him in it, and he said like that was like the third try.
Was it really? Like, that,
yeah, he said that hurts so bad to fall on.
Oh my god.
Because it's all resi and it's like 700 feet tall, so you're sliding down resi the whole fucking way. There's a reason he wears long sleeve shirts, I'm sure.
Oh man, I mean he must be beat up.
Yeah, that had to be vicious to fall from. And it might have just been those things where he landed on his feet but like couldn't stick it and fell on his butt or fell down or whatever, but like that jump is insane.
Yeah, so he's been doing Nitro Circus for years now. Like,
yeah.
When did that start? Like 2008 maybe?
Yeah, it's either 2009 or 2010. Because he had said that when he was on Kranz's podcast 2 years ago, he said it was been almost 8 years at that point. So I think it's close to 10 years at this point.
That's great. Yeah, he was 7 years, and he was on True Spin as well, I think. I love Chris. I think that he is an amazing representation of what rollerblading can be. Like, the guy is a bearded, mature adult who has his shit together, has tattoos, goes big, like does tech, like he is like what we need. I think that the Nitro Circus thing is a little weird, to be completely honest. I don't know how to say what I'm thinking. Like, I feel like Nitro Circus is this motocross thing where it's like a bunch of goofy stuff and, hey, I'm going to go down on a garbage can. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's this weird thing. I don't know that there's a better venue for him. Like, this Nitro Circus thing is a thing and it tours and it gives him the exposure and he is a star. I don't know if there's an alternative to that, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that is basically true. You know, it's bikes, you know, motorcycles, and Chris Haffey.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, like, it works well. He's been on there for several years, you know, with hopefully there's no intention of him ever stopping, which, I mean, it's possible that it might because he did just win $250,000.
That's true. So, that, what the hell is that all about?
I mean, so, other than just seeing it happen, you know, from time to time, you know, it's pretty ridiculous that he was even given the opportunity to do something like that. And, and I'm not saying ridiculous, like I can't believe he did it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that he did it in the sense that he was given an opportunity and right place, right time. He's like, absolutely, I'd love to do that for you guys. Awesome. You know, and that was a Facebook thing. That was strictly done through Facebook.
Strictly through Facebook. So it's called the Next Trick Shot Superstar.
Yeah.
So it's one of those weird, like, reality shows that you wouldn't necessarily find on broadcast television. but he was in, like, I mean, you can watch the whole series on Next. I'll put it, like, in the show notes. He won $250,000 for throwing a golf ball.
Yeah, it was pretty absurd. I mean, it's still awesome.
Yeah,
for sure. But you know, it's just to have the possibility or the opportunity to win that much money, just for throwing a fucking golf ball and happening getting it exactly where it needs to go. That's insane.
I mean, good for him.
Absolutely, I agree. Like, I had the thought, like, as I'm watching it, like, I'd love to try that. And then, like, I watched a little bit more, and I'm like, there's no fucking way that I could compete in that.
No.
Some of that stuff is a little ridiculous. But that golf ball thing, like, I don't remember what they said, how far it was for them to throw that stuff, but, like, that's 100%. You're just doing that until you get it exactly right. Like, yeah. You're just waiting for the right throw.
Right.
You know, there's no skill involved with that. I hate to say it like that. And I'm just saying, like, because the ball is so small, it's going to be so affected by the wind. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, it's just luck of the draw, you know, whoever gets lucky first.
Yeah, very true.
So, we also haven't talked about Drew Patton much lately.
We haven't.
I think we talked about him early in the, like, some one of the early episodes.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
But he's, he put out an edit a month ago through it was on the Circolo Vimeo, but it was technically through Flying Eagle or for Flying Eagle.
Yeah.
He got hooked up with Flying Eagle with some Drift 2s, which is their carbon fiber urban boot.
They're
urban
beautiful.
Freestyle slalom. It's a really, really good looking skate for sure. And Drew does some really cool shit in them.
He's such an interesting dude. Do you talk to Drew offline?
I've talked to him through Facebook Messenger and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like I don't want to say I moderated, but like he had a problem with a thing on Blade Trade.
Sure.
And he hit me up because I'm an admin there, and he was like, hey, I'm having a problem with X, Y, and Z, and blah blah yep. blah, and this and that. And like I was driving at the time, so I was like, hey, can I just give you a call through Messenger? And he's like, yeah, that's fine.
Right.
So we talked it out, and it was a shitty deal, and the guy that did the shitty deal was saying, you know, horrible things about Drew.
Yeah.
That, you know, were completely undeserved because Drew's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy was being in cockwaffle, so.
Drew's not in
Blade Trade really Outpost anymore.
Well,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, and, like, the stuff that he's capable of, like, I'm sure that he had some sort of a figure skating background on ice, you know, and not just on inline.
Yeah.
But, like, he really inspires me. Just seeing the stuff that he can do is just like, wow, how the fuck am I going to learn how to do that?
I feel like back to Brent and back to Joey, like, he just sees skating a little differently. Nobody in our world... like, who has an aggressive background that I follow, at least, that I'm aware of, is at all interested in the stuff that Drew is doing.
People are going to see the stuff that he sees and just see that he's not jumping on a handrail and sliding down it. And they're going to say horrible, horrible things about it. You know, because that's the nature of the beast, because we're, quote-unquote, aggressive inline skaters, and people think that that's what they have to do, is they have to tear things down that aren't exactly like what they do.
Right.
So, like, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but 5 years ago, I probably would have done the same thing. I probably would have said horrible things about it.
It's a maturity thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's also an experience thing. Like, you see what's out there, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to try something like that. You realize just how fucking hard it is to do some of the stuff that he does. Like, and Billy Prislin is taking a liking to this type of skating as well that Drew does, and he's doing all sorts of cool stuff too, like that probably a lot of people are like, the Savannah Master is spinning, like, what's going on right now? But I mean, like, same thing, he's finding ways to shift his weight and change his edge control and everything like that, and just do weird stuff that's fun, and it's awesome. Like, I love seeing the stuff that Billy does, and I've had conversations with Billy on a couple of occasions, you know, talk about, like, you know, tour life with Solomon and, you know, what it was like to, you know, work with Sennett and everything like that and design graphics and everything. He was like, he was awesome. You know, and, we talked about a lot of his history and everything like that. And, you know, his, what's the word I'm looking for? Tour? No.
Hmm.
His experience with sobriety
and
everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, it's awesome. You know, I'm glad that he's in the place that he's in, and I hope that he's still doing well with everything. I haven't seen any skate stuff from him lately, so I hope that he's able to get out. He might be busy with work, so, or maybe he got hurt. I hope not.
But
I mean, there's so many things that these people are capable of doing that just fucking blows my mind. And And I told Drew that I was going to Disney on Ice when I went.
Nice.
And I was just like, I'm going to focus on these the edge control that I'm going to see in this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my wife is just like, that girl's not that hot. Why is he staring at her? Or like, why is my husband staring at a dude right now?
Yeah, it's not about like, that.
Because I'm looking at their blades. Yeah. Like the way that they're changing their weight and everything like that. And like the stuff that they do to set up for the triple lutzes and triple ad doubles and whatever the hell they were doing.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there, I'm just watching. It was like, I don't think I could ever do that. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
And then you see like the other people that can barely skate from the curtain to their mark. And I'm like, I could definitely do that. How do I get this job?
Right.
And it's just like it opened my mind. It's like ice skating is a thing too. Like, why didn't I ever think of that in the past? Like, cause there was an ice skating rink in one of the malls in Odessa where Champion's from. And I'm like, there were so many times we went to that mall and just didn't bother to go ice skate for whatever reason. And who knows, maybe I could have been an urban, you know, rollerblade guy. You know, because of the influence that I had with ice skating, say, you know what, I need to be able to do this on rollerblades too. I need a set of bigger wheels or something. Or maybe not.
I have a hard time watching figure skating because it's just so vertical. You know what I mean? Like all of the spins are very like tucked. I actually sent it to Drew, funny enough, this morning. I saw a video, who was it from? It was like one of those big brand sites. I don't know what it was, but like Wired or something like that.
Okay.
Talking about the quad and how figure skaters are doing 4 rotations now. Which Jesus. Is what 360, can't even 720, 1440, I guess.
That is fucking absurd.
Yeah, that's like table stakes. So you have to be able to do that if you want to win. Anyway, so they're breaking it down, and this is it's a whole video about it. It's really, really fascinating about how the amount of time you get and the revolutions per minute and how you I don't know.
For the me, core strength these motherfuckers must have.
Yeah, it's a different sort of skating. And that's what fascinates me about Drew. So Drew had an interview in Blader Union, which I would suggest you read if you haven't. It's really interesting talking about you know, his background and why he feels like skating the way that he does. Bunch of clips and stuff like that. Really fascinating guy. I think that I go back to it, but I think that looking at skating in a different way is, I don't know. I'm a huge fan of Drew's. I think it's one of those things that people would say is really lame looking, you know, back in the days, but he's had to fight through it and it's like, you know what, I'm just gonna skate and I'm having a good time. I know that he ice skates too. Like, especially nowadays, because it's so cold, he'll go out on the ice and skate. But yeah, he's something else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's extremely capable. And on topic of people that do stuff that isn't core, do you know who Joey Manti is?
I don't know that name.
So Joey Manti is a, I want to make sure that I'm saying that name right. Let me bring that up real quick. But he's an Olympian, skates for Power Slide, and I don't know who his ice sponsor is or whatnot, but he's a fucking monster. Like if you see this dude's legs, like his hashtag that he does is every day's leg day. This guy's legs are the size of trees. It's ridiculous. And he's absurd. Like just watching the stuff that he does as far as training, especially when it came to training for the Olympics, like in the last like 6 months or so, he's an animal.
So is he a figure skater or?
No, he's a speed skater.
Speed skater.
He's a speed skater. So I thought that I had said that, but so my bad.
Maybe
but
yeah, you did. I didn't hear it.
Gotcha. But the stuff that this guy does, and same thing, in incredible shape because he's an Olympian, and he skates all the time. I don't know what event that he's going to be skating in, but it's probably going to be over quickly because he's going to skate really fast.
Yeah,
I mean, what the fuck is going on here? I'm looking at one of his pictures, and it looks like one of his blades, like the ice blade, doesn't connect on the heel.
Yeah, so that's a thing. I don't know why, but yes, they're speed skates that when you do your stride, the blade stays on the ice when your leg lifts up. I don't know anything about it, but I've seen it before.
That's really strange.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to reach out to him and send him a message and ask him, but he's probably pretty busy right now.
Yeah, he's probably in Korea.
Yeah. Maybe I'll send a message to Peter.
You should Facebook friend him.
Don't tempt me. I'll fucking do it. Pretty sure he's not going to respond, but... But no, I'm very interested. I did not know that those skates did that. I don't know how I never saw that.
I know nothing about speed skating, but I know that that is a thing.
It does kind of make sense. Like if it's just floptastic, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But if it's something where it maintains pressure against the ice, you know, to keep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Power transfer or something. I don't know. It's intriguing, and I want to know more about it. Maybe I'll reach out to Peter from Adapt because I know that he does some work with.
He would know.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll accept my friend request on Facebook or not, but. But yeah, I think I'll reach out to Peter and see if he could give me a little bit of insight on that. But that's very interesting.
That'd be cool.
I would love to get into speed skating like competitively. I know that I'm going to be destroyed, you know, for years to come, but like how we were talking about, like I was proficient at sports. Like I have that competition bug. Like I want it. I want to beat people at anything that I'm capable of doing. I think that's why I work so hard at work, because I can't beat them at basketball. I can't out bench press any of them or any of the other stuff. My car isn't faster than theirs is. So like, there's so many things that I can't beat them at. But they'll never beat me when it comes to work. Like, they're never going to work longer, harder, or faster than I will.
Sure.
So, and most of them are half my age.
Yeah.
So, but I want to do it. I don't want to put on one of those speed suits and look like a 5-pound wad of bubble gum
and a
2-pound bag.
Like, if you get to a point where you have to put on a speed suit, you're probably in better shape where you won't look like bubble gum.
Fair.
Like, I don't know. I think I wish that I lived in a place where the weather was better, because I really miss, like, I was thinking about the, I don't know what it was, but just, you know, over the last week I was thinking about wheel bases and how long wheels are, and, you know what it was? Somebody on YouTube, reached out to me on Facebook, and did not send a friend request, but just sent me a message and was just like, hey, I used to skate. I saw your videos. Thanks for motivating me, yada, yada. Like, you know, it's great watching you skate, stuff like that. But I've been skating a lot, and I started trying to do a little bit aggressive, and I keep falling on 180s. What's up? And I'm like, oh, that's a loaded question. Like, were you able to do 180? Like, he used to skate vert, and he used to skate street, and now he's falling doing 180s. And it took like 5 minutes of troubleshooting to figure out that his setup was a Seba, what's it called?
FR.
FR. And the wheelbase is very short. It's like a 240, 244 wheelbase.
Okay.
And he's got them rockered. So he's got 80s and 76s. And I'm like, well, it's harder for you because the wheelbase isn't long enough. Like, you have a very small wheelbase, which is designed for cornering, which is designed for, you know, doing the stuff that Drew does.
Yeah.
But that's not ideal for landing gaps and stuff, because the amount of surface area that you have, the urethane that you have hitting the ground when you land, isn't impossible, but it's much more difficult than it needs to be. And that's when I started thinking about, oh, I haven't skated my tri-skates. Like, there's a whole lot, because the tri-skates are 246. Like, my Pleasure Tools 165s on my Imperial Supercruisers are 246, but they feel fine. But again, I'm not doing 180s. So maybe they would
be sure.
Fine for that.
Like, if that was a conversation that was posed to me, I would say his issue is more with his rocker as opposed to the length of the frame. But again, that also depends on his foot size. If he's a size 12 foot and he's skating a 243,
yeah, exactly,
that's going to suck no matter what.
Yeah.
So, but if he would probably, if he wanted to stick with rocker, he'd probably be, you know, well served to step up to like a 90 millimeter frame.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like, I find it interesting that he was reaching out to you for 180 advice, seeing as how that's one of your tricks that you hate the most.
Oh my God, I was so scared of 180s. Yeah, I told him. I was like, you know, it took me a while to get back into it because I was just worried about it. Like, it's scary to me. And it's more scary for me doing a 180 over something just because I'm worried that I'm going to hit my heels and fall back and hit my head.
Very valid fear.
Which is what I've done in the past. But yeah, I don't know. There's so much to think about now with wheelbases. I keep thinking that there's got to be some sort of a website or some sort of a tool that lets you put in your foot size, right? And you can say, okay, my foot size is, you know, this many centimeters or whatever.
What's my ideal
frame size? Right. Like, I want to skate flat. I want to skate rockered. I want to skate anti-rocker. Like, where should I be? I want to skate tri-rocker, like, or a tri-skate. Where should I be? And it spits out, like, I don't know. I'll probably build it someday and never ship it. But there's something there, I think, that measures all the different frames and says, this is this, and this is this, and this is the measurements of the things. Like, you need a longer frame. You need a shorter frame. Because I never thought about that growing up, skating. Like, it wasn't even a thing. Like, you just skate. But now I'm, like, trying to find that perfect setup for me.
Do you want to know who's already done that research?
Tell me.
Leon Bassin.
Oh, of course.
So for Leon's opinion, his ideal for up to a size 8 foot is a 4x90. For 9 to 10.5.
Wait, 4x90 with no groove. So 90, 90, 90, 90, which means 90 plus 90 is 180, plus 90, half of 90, plus half of 90, which is 180, which is 360 total.
Yes.
Did I lose you?
No, you didn't lose me. I'm trying.
Yeah.
No, so 90, 90.
Yep.
Plus, so it's 390s.
Yes. Yes. 270.
Okay. Yeah. So 270 for up to a size 8.
Got it.
Now this is for a natural rocker wizard frame, clearly, because that's what he's pushing, like Frank Lucas in the 60s.
Yes.
Up to a size 10.5 would be 4x100. Anything above that would be 4x110.
Okay.
For natural rocker. So if you want a natural rocker setup, which I still think that you should try.
No, I need to. Did I tell you I got the R100s?
Yes, you did tell me that. That's
I haven't put
very
them on
exciting.
Yet. I need to find some dry pavement, but I've got R100s. I'm excited. I got to figure it out.
That's awesome. What are your particulars you're going to set that up with?
Oh, I have the mushroom blading 100 mil undercovers, and I have a set of rollerblade SG9 bearings.
Nice.
That's going to be a killer setup.
That is a great bearing, by the way. The SG9s.
Thank you for turning me onto those. That's what I have on my arrows and love them. They're so clean. Like, they just, no fuss. You just, and they're like 50, 40 bucks. Like, they're not crazy.
Yeah. So it's, you can do a little bit of maintenance with them, like maybe put a little bit of speed lube in them and hope it ends up getting in there. But for the most part, you know, it's a long-lasting bearing that you don't have to worry about.
Right.
If it gets a little wet and it rusts, fuck it, it's 40 bucks.
Yeah.
Some new ones.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Like, I have extras now, so I'm okay. Anyway, yeah. 4x100, R100s. I don't know what the rocker is going to look like, but I got to figure that out.
Well, that does the four-way rocker.
Yes.
Was it four or six that the K2
rocker
did?
Yeah, six-way rocker. Okay. So that's going to be interesting, right?
There's a way that you can get it to kind of mirror what the Wizard frame is, and I'm sure Joey or Todd could, well, Joey probably, more likely, would be able to tell you how exactly to set that up if you wanted to get it close to the natural rocker.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a crazy cool idea. I really like it, but, I mean, I don't have any UFS boots, so.
We need to get you some UFS boots. So tell me, so we were talking about that. So carbons. Carbon free is your UFS boot of choice? Like, if you could have any UFS boot?
If I could have any UFS boot.
Sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. All the way from Adapts down to Colts.
There's so many different answers for so many different reasons.
That's why I'm asking.
It would probably be that new black carbon that USD just put out.
Ooh, it's a beautiful skate, dude.
It really is. I had the carbon XVs a while back ago before I got rid of my elements, and that was a beautiful skate. And it skated real well. You know, I didn't have to worry about like my foot falling asleep or anything like that, which is a real concern that I've had with other skates.
Huh.
But I mean, I have issues with carbons because of the way that the toes will wear for the way that I fall. So that's why I would say, like, maybe I'd go with a hard boot.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, what hard boot would I get? I mean, we already know that I can't skate Volos.
Sure.
I'm not, you know, Volo lights aren't going to be around for me to buy anymore.
Nope.
So, I mean, there's limited choice as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
And like, well, maybe I'll dance with the devil and I'll get some razors. And
Well,
I didn't like SLs.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't like the Colt boot when I had the super flats.
Yep.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of the whole idea of the shift. Although I think that's something that I should definitely at least try out at some point. Maybe the next time I go skate a Tuesday night skate, maybe someone will have some of the nine and I can try them out real quick. But
yeah, I wish mine were your size. They'd be like boats, or I would send them up to you.
for sure. Because the Seba's I had, the Seba SX that I had, that was a size 10, and that was ridiculous. It was huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was crazy big.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it was going to be that bad, and then, like, my wife saw them when I put frames on. She's like, those are for you? It's like, yeah. She's like, those are big. And then I actually tried them on, and they were very, very big.
Yeah. You know, you're not considering K2 or Rollerblade. Those Solos...
So yeah, you're right. Solos are great skates. I don't know why they didn't pop into my head.
I know. That's what's so weird. Why is Rollerblade and K2 in this weird Bermuda Triangle?
Now K2 isn't in my brain because how prevalent I always was to break the cuffs.
Sure.
No, but I don't skate like I used to.
No.
So that's probably not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be.
Yeah.
So I would probably say, I would say Solos. New Jacks are great skates, by the way. They're just crazy wide for me.
Yeah. They are wide.
Solos and Carbons would probably be my end all be all.
Okay. Good to know. When's your birthday?
It's in January. It just passed.
Oh shit! Well, next year then.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of both of those boots. You know, they're really great skates, and both companies did a really good job.
I gotta try some rollerblades. It's been years, but I have such fond memories of those TRS Access that I used to skate.
For sure, and the New Jack 5 is basically the same skate. It just has a different sole.
Yeah.
I found that the backslide plate wandered a little bit, but that might have also just been that I skated in mine like four times.
Okay.
So it goes.
So Winter Clash.
Yep.
Is next week?
I think so.
This coming week? When the hell is it? So I'm bringing up, so I have in the show notes, it's February 16th.
Okay.
At least that's when, so Lino Ricardo is doing an interview, with Arlo, John, and Haffy, which is going to be awesome. Like, that is, so of the three people that I'd love to hear from right now, those are the three that I'd love to hear from right now.
Like, for sure.
Arlo's been out of the game so long, but he's totally in the game. John has been in the game so long that, I mean, he's been skating longer than he hasn't been skating. And then Chris, we just talked about, like, what is his viewpoint on skating? Like, I hope that Lino does a good job. His comment on the Facebook is, "I promise I'll let them talk." So good, right?
Yeah, because he does have,
he has a tendency of talking over. Yeah, you're right.
For sure, for sure. You know, he might even say something random like, "Ramen is the best."
Yeah,
or something like that. So. I don't know. I'm excited to see. No, but at the same time, talking to those three guys.
Yeah.
Like, I would probably turn into that character that would talk to the people that Chris Farley did on SNL. Like, do you remember the time you did the thing? That was awesome. That I would probably turn into that, or Mushmouth, or just have an anxiety attack and go back to the hotel.
Well, I'm hoping that Lino is a professional and will hold it together. I'm excited for this. I think, so this is the first Winter Clash that I've actually been skating and will be watching. I think we got into this in the other thing where I was hoping that there would be a video from Winter Clash, and there probably won't be, at least not on the level that I hope that there would be. I'm excited about this interview. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I think Winter Clash is going to be huge, and, I don't know where to find Winter Clash information, but I will say that if I find anything, I will update the Facebook, the Back to Blading Facebook and Instagram, with any information that I have about what to do to watch Winter Clash, what's going on at Winter Clash. I won't be out there. I don't think you'll be out there. But there,
I would love to.
Oh, someday, Ben, someday. What if, like, we could do a live podcast at Winter Clash? How awesome would that be?
That'd be pretty rad. Your editing fingers will be very, very sore because it's going to be loud as fuck in there.
Well,
we'll have to get some crazy Shure microphones for that, and tape them to our face.
Ride.
And
I'll let it ride. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that'd be incredible. Like, I would want to go to just Grom out and shake people's hand. That is, like, I've seen you in so many edits. Like, you do awesome shit. I've seen you in so many edits. You do awesome shit. That'd probably be the only thing I would say all night.
I would love to have a video camera on you when you're doing that, and just have a complete edit of Ben T-dogging out.
It won't be hard to make, because I still haven't been. But like, I don't know how many times I skated with Champion, and every time it happened, I still just I think the only person that I ever didn't grom out on was Robert Liobanos.
Sure.
And that's because I offered to give him a cigarette when we were skating, which sounds weird. But like I was just like, there's really no one skating. And I was just like, I'm going to go have a cigarette. Do you want one? He's like, all right, let's go.
Nice.
So like, we're kind of chit-chatting a little bit, and he had this thing on his finger, and I was like, what's that all about? He's like, oh, I hurt my finger. I don't like wearing it. I'm embarrassed. I'm like, I was just asking. I didn't mean to get all deep and shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he was really the only person that ever didn't really grom out on, and I made myself a fool in front of Eric Schrein.
Nice.
I told him how shitty his Kaiser frames were.
Oh, no.
Like 7 times. And he's like, I know they were, dude. I know. I hated them, too. I'm sorry. And I was like, I broke 3 of them. He's like, I'm sorry. And, like, it literally took me, like, 10 years to realize. I was like, wow, Ben. You've never had your name on any skate product, so why the fuck do you have anything to say to Eric Schrein?
more importantly, he has absolutely nothing to do with it.
For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's fair. Yeah, I think Winter Clash is going to be great. I think eventually we'll make it out there, Ben. I think that is our dream.
Yeah, well, I'll have to get some Xanax or something, because I'll be anxiety over 9,000 and with that many people around me.
So where is it? Do you know?
Endiven?
Where's that?
Endiven? I don't even know.
Is that in Europe?
Yes, somewhere. Where is Winter Clash?
Oh, man. Yeah, all I see is just a snowflake. That's just a logo. That's all I see. Winter Clash, Winter Clash. It's a big thing.
Yeah, Area 51 Skate Park in Eindhoven.
Okay. Is it always at that same skate park?
Yes, it's always at that same skate park. Just like with the How Bitter Cold is always at Modern.
Yes. Okay.
4 days, 19 hours, 45 minutes, and 15 seconds. Let's go, Julio. I want to see this new shit.
Yeah, and others. I mean, Winter Clash is the big reveal.
Yeah, I could give a fuck about anything else. I really want to see this new Julio project.
Oh, I hope he's skating. Who do you think is skating them?
Julio,
does
probably.
Does he have a team?
I would imagine he's probably got Sizemore and
Broskow at least. So what's going to happen to Sizemore and Broskow? Sochiro.
Are they going to get absorbed by Rossi's? And Rossi's going to continue to put out Volo skates under the Rossi's name?
I don't know, man.
I had a conversation with somebody that I'm not going to reveal the details of, but I will say who I was talking to. I was talking with Ryan Lowy,
who was
one of the photo editors for BMAG. No, excuse me. I had a question about one of the Aeon 80 thing.
Sure.
The post that they made, and like I didn't like some of the wording that was in it. I didn't tell him that. Sorry, Ryan.
Right.
But I was just like, who wrote this? And he was like, it was probably Yo-Yo. I was like, oh. All right. Well, what about the blah, 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 this and that? Like, we just got into different conversations, and we started talking about the Julio project and what's going to come, you know, from that.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that I've talked to about it is pretty excited. They want to see what the hell's going to happen.
That's cool.
So,
God,
I mean,
I love this. I love it.
I'm very excited about it. I want to see what comes of it. I don't know if it's something that I'm going to be, you know, like, all right, you know, take my money.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of people that have that mentality about it. They just can't wait to give Julio more money.
Well,
they're like this, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
I was just going to say, I think that it's different because it's his.
Yeah.
Like you're giving him money. Like you are directly like buying Volo definitely helped him. But this is
probably helped Rossi's a little more.
Yeah, exactly. This is directly helping him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what the project is, what it comes out to actually be, because just like we're talking about, there's wild speculation about what's going on with it, and like I've speculated plenty about it. But I want to see what it's going to be before I say, Julio, take my money.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's something that I'm going to be willing to skate or willing to spend the money on. You know, but we'll see. You know, if it's built on the same lasses of E13 and it's that narrow, I can't skate it.
Yeah, agreed.